This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is the voice within for another week. Well, here we are already in September. Almost three quarters of the year gone already. So here is a message from Michelle Buchanan, our esteemed numerologist, and she says, welcome to September 2023, a number seven universal month within a number seven universal year that influences every single one of us. But what does that mean, and how can we make it the best September it can be? Well, the first thing to know is that we get a double dose of seven energy throughout the entire month, because it's both the universal month and the universal year number. So its influence is amplified. And as you've heard me say all year, seven is the number awakening and transformation. Now, an awakening can occur in many different ways, such as 1. Awakening to our spiritual truth and understanding who and what we truly are as powerful creative beings with the ability to raise your vibration, to ascend into the fifth dimension reality of unity consciousness and blissful happiness, where love is the governing force. Or 2, awakening to the corruption in the world as many secrets are being exposed. Or 3, awakening to a limited belief of pattern of behaviour that has prevented us from living a peaceful, happy and harmonious life. These are only three examples of the many different ways in which an awakening can play out for each of us individually. 7 also focuses on our personal and spiritual development this month and year, in order to raise our energy vibration as we're being encouraged to move away from our 3D lower self tendencies of separateness, superficiality and consumerism, to live in a more conscious, heart-centered, honest and joyful life. This is what is happening behind the scenes for everyone on the planet, and astrology also confirms this. September and 2023 is a time where having a strong spiritual foundation and a strong sense of faith in the divine, ourselves, the future of humanity and better things to come will help us to overcome any personal global challenges. Therefore, creating space for quiet time alone, especially in nature, to process new information, contemplate the deeper meaning of life, and strengthen our relationships and connection to source energy will benefit us greatly this year. Adopting consistent spiritual practices such as meditation, breathwork, mindfulness, self-analysis, prayer, yoga, qigong, EFT, that's tapping, holistic wellness modalities, group meditations, and visualizations to call in love, light, truth, and healing will have a major positive impact on everyone and everything this year. Another important thing to know is that in September, you get a double dose of your own personal year number energy too. Alongside your universal year and universal month number that influences us all, we also have a personal year number and a personal month number that is more dominant for us personally. This is the most obvious forecast that is often felt more strongly in our personal lives. And for September, this forecast is amplified. Well, thanks, Michelle. Did you notice that 2 in the awakenings awakening to the corruption in the world as many secrets are being exposed? Just go on the net and find out all the lies we've been told for ages. There's a track called C'est ma vie in French, which is This Is My Life, from Andrian Fusion album. I think I might have bought that in Peru. I'm not quite sure where I got that one from. Panpipes, anyway. So Pam Gregory, of course, every month puts out a forecast for the month. And this is a September one.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the first half of September and the new moon that we have coming up in Virgo on the 14th or 15th, depending on where in the world you live. as we enter September, we are still very much feeling not only Uranus moving stationary, retrograde on the 29th of August, but also that huge full supermoon in Pisces right at the end of the month, 30th, 31st of August. And we'll feel that for really the first week in September. And this was huge. Now, again, go back to the previous update, but there's often a feeling of a lot of emotion. It's like a tidal wave rising, a lot of sadness sometimes, grief, leaving elements of your life behind that can be a lot of tears, also a lot of compassion that we feel for other people. It can bring in a sense of overwhelm. I've certainly felt that with the volume of work, for sure, but it's manifesting in various ways in people's lives. So don't be surprised if you felt that. And again, turn inwards, close your eyes, turn into your breath, drop into your heart, bare feet on the grass. Go to groundology.com or groundology.co.uk on the science of what that simple act, bare feet on the earth, on the grass, does to you physiologically, because it's very measurable. And bare feet on the earth is the best antioxidant that you can possibly get. And it decompresses your energy very quickly, you know, can pulls it out of the head and really earths it. So do check out those websites. They are excellent for information, how it changes the viscosity of your blood, how it affects your heart, your various physical biomarkers very, very quickly when you do that. So, and that's free and available to all of us. We can just go to a local park and do that. So we're still very much feeling those energies. I'm recording this for personal reasons, recording it very early. I'm recording it on the 27th of the month, because I've got a lot happening in the next week. So there may be events happening in the world that I won't be taking account of in this video, but it's possible and even likely that we will have increased seismic activity around the time of that Pisces full supermoon, because of the it's the closest one to the Earth this year. So it's very strong pull on the tectonic plates, the tides, etc., and particularly with Uranus being stationary retrograde too. So that's one of the early influences in the month. And then on the 4th, we've got a few feisty energies as well in those first few days with Mars and Eris and Pluto and the Moon, people feeling more rebellious, people feeling a demand for truth, greater freedom. So that's going to be a kind of ongoing theme as we roll through the coming months. But on the 4th, the first thing of significance I want to talk about really is on the 4th, we have Venus moving stationary direct. Now, Venus has been moving retrograde in Leo for about the last 6 weeks. And while she's been doing that, we have probably been reevaluating either our relationships or our finances and or our values. In fact, the reevaluation of our values is ongoing in a bigger context till 2026 because of Uranus being in Taurus ruled by Venus, you know, radical change in our values. And certainly since Uranus has been in Taurus over the last few years, we've certainly, I think, been doing that collectively. Our values have changed, I think, quite fundamentally already, but retrograde Venus has reinforced that theme. So with Venus starting to move stationary retrograde on the 3rd of the month, we may be able to move forwards with greater clarity on those issues of finance, relationship and values from that point. So that's quite an important pivot point. And then the very next day, we have Jupiter moving stationary retrograde. Always when we have a planet, particularly an outer planet, moving, changing direction, the symbolism is magnified. So whatever is prevailing at that time, round about the 4th, Jupiter can blow it up, make it bigger, exaggerate it. That's happening at 15 of Taurus. So see if you have any fixed planets between 13 between 13 and 16 of the fixed signs, particularly Taurus, but also Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, see where Jupiter is moving through your chart, which house area, which sign area. It spends about a year in each sign and each house. It's a very easy thing to track. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can download a free birth chart from my website, pamgregory.com. And if you go to the link below, you can get a two-part video series that will explain. This is not a personalized birth chart reading. Please understand, these are two teaching videos to teach you how to find these points in your chart with every update I do. And it's the beginning of your astrological journey. But it's very helpful to track where Jupiter is moving because it can bring some expansion or success or recognition or abundance. And because Jupiter is the planet of expansion, most of the time it works in a very, very beneficial way. Occasionally, it can just exaggerate a tricky situation that you're going through in that area of life, but generally it will be positive for you. So, and what is helped on that day is the fact that Jupiter is trine to Mercury. So this is lovely for big thinking, big futuristic vision of what we want to create. And because both Mercury and Jupiter are in Earth signs, Jupiter in Taurus, Mercury in Virgo, this is going to be what can we do to make it practical? Yes, we're having these big ideas, these big future visions. How can we ground it? How can we make it practical? How can we put it into some kind of practical system, particularly if it's around food production, agriculture, or some financial development? We're well aware with Uranus moving through Taurus all the way through till 2026, there's going to be increasing digitization of things like currencies. The direction of travel is decentralized. There will be, of course, big efforts to make it more centralized. The direction of travel astrologically, particularly with Pluto moving into Aquarius, is decentralized. And I would strongly suggest that you go that way. It could even be microcurrencies coming up in separate areas and communities. So it's going to be, an awful lot happening even in these first few days. On the 7th of the month, we have the Sun trine to Jupiter. And generally, that is a lovely, optimistic, positive, again, futuristic, hopeful aspect. So again, see where the Sun is moving, see where Jupiter is moving at 15 of Taurus for you. And just to say also that from now on, for the next few months generally, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto are all going to be moving retrograde. So, and September, virtually all of them are barely moving 1 degree in the month. So they are drilling down on the particular degrees where they are right now. And you'll see where they are when I show the chart for the new moon in Virgo in a moment. But take note and look in your own chart to see what each of these outer planets is aspecting for you. Because this is a deep dive, a deep period of introspection. Jupiter retrograde is very much about integrating wisdom. Okay, we've accessed a lot of information and a certain amount of wisdom while it was moving direct earlier in the year, but now how can we integrate it? And wisdom is often where we've taken in experiences, and if they've been emotional, they've had an emotional charge. But wisdom is where we can get perspective on them, where we can still see the emotional event, but we can put it in perspective and release the emotional charge on it to integrate it into wisdom. I hope that makes sense for you. So it's a deep dive into, okay, this is what happened in the first part of the year. We are thinking deeply about the implications of all of those things. And as these planets start to move forwards later this year, and into early next year, what would we do differently? Would we take the same decisions? How would our behaviour change? How would our reactions change? I think that's really important. This is an incredibly important period of time in this crucible of change, that we are conscious of what we did before, of the actions we took, and be very conscious and wise of, are we going to do the same thing again? How well did it work? Truthfully, how well did it work? Okay, so let us start to look at this new moon in Virgo. Just to say, on the 8th, we've got some pretty feisty, rebellious energy. We've got Mars sesquiquadrate Uranus and the moon square to Mars. So this can be kind of anger, rebellion, truth coming to light, people kicking off, want more freedom, want more clarity. So be aware, around about the 8th, that's a tricksy kind of day. So as always, I've set this for the UK. This is where I live. If you are in America, this is happening on the 14th. It's happening at 6:39 p.m. Pacific, and it's happening UK time at 2:39 UK time, because we're still on British summer time here. So this is a great time, a perfect time to set a new intention. At a new moon, we're planting a new seed. And at a new moon, the sun and moon are always together, always conjunct. So that this is at 21:58 of Virgo. So see where that falls in your chart, which house area. And again, the two videos I've just mentioned will help you with that. Is this career? Is it money? Is it health? Is it family? That will help you set the intention. Always remember present tense, as if it was already, or as if it were, correct grammar, already happening for you. So Virgo energy is about discernment. Discernment, sharpening our discernment. And there's a lot to say about that. It's also about streamlining and simplifying our lives, getting rid of the clutter, whether that's physical clutter, whether that's relationships, circumstances, behaviors, thinking patterns that are unhelpful for us. It's kind of a feng shui for your energy, as it were, streamlining, clarifying, making simpler your day-to-day habits, Virgo, day-to-day habits, so they are more positive and productive for you. But it's very much about discernment, as I say, and what sharpens, this is quite a complex picture, but what sharpens that discernment is the ruler of Virgo is Mercury. And Mercury is very, very strong here, because not only is it in Virgo, in its sign of rulership, but it is also stationary. This S here means stationary, because it's about to move direct here after 3 weeks of retrograde motion. So that makes Mercury super strong. And what Virgo likes to do is to pin down the exact facts, get them right, get the I's dotted, the T's crossed, get them precise, right. It's very important to get everything correct. But there are a couple of challenges to that, with those efforts to do that. Because we have Saturn opposing Mercury here. So Saturn tends to be a blockage or a control or a rules and regulations. Saturn rules Capricorn, so it's very much the old order coming into play here, the old power systems. And so there could be increased control on communication, facts, information, particularly, as I mentioned last time, in the last update, around Virgo Pisces, very much the health axis. Virgo is microbes, bacteria, tiny things, very much related to health, the gut, the microbiome. Pisces is related to our immune system, the blood. So this is the health axis in general. So particularly facts and information and detail around the health area, there could be some clamp down on those that could make the picture less precise for this Mercury in Virgo that's endeavouring to get to the truth. Also, Neptune is opposing the Sun and Moon here. Neptune 26 Pisces opposing Sun and Moon here. So at a negative expression, Neptune can be in a fog, can cloud the picture. It's related to the media, to drugs, pharmaceutical drugs. Again, it's related to the whole health area, as I've just mentioned. Illusion, that kind of thing. So it can be a foggy or cloudy picture. Thing, you know, what's the truth? Things are not as they seem. At a higher level of expression, what this astrology is encouraging us to do is Neptune is in a long-term square to the galactic center. The galactic center is at 27 of Sagittarius. I haven't drawn these lines in because it would be so crazily busy. But Neptune is going to stay in that square to the galactic center until the end of 2024. And this is the galactic center is where the kind of plasma, where the raw plasma with which we are creating our universe is coming from. And so this, when people are tuned in, when they have planets to the aspecting in the galactic center, they very often are extremely sensitive to energy. They're very psychically sensitive. They're very tuned in to their intuition. So this is asking us at a higher level to use our intuition and not just operate at the mental level of Mercury in Virgo, because we might just get swamped. It's just too much to work out. We can't see through the fog. What's also very interesting is we have a conjunction here between dwarf planet Varda at 25-12 of Sagittarius and the galactic center. So Varda is also square to Neptune. And Varda stays in that conjunction and square until the end of 2024 as well. So Varda, dwarf planet, as you may remember, with her husband Manwe, other dwarf planet, they are said in myth to have created the cosmos. Varda's role in that was to create the sun, the moon, the stars, and set them on their course in the heavens. And so she is very much about creating a cosmos and therefore creating new earth, doing it the second time around, creating new earth. So putting these, and actually one other thing which I'm going to include in this theme of shifting to a higher perspective, a higher intuition, is that Uranus is trying to, the sun and moon here, the new moon, 22 of Taurus to 21 of Virgo. So a trine is very helpful, positive, beneficial. So this is about getting insights, downloads, flashes, could be galactic information, but it's higher mind information. Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury. So again, it isn't just our regular mental process. All of these planets and aspects I'm talking about are operating at a higher level. So this prevailing astrology at the new moon in Virgo is encouraging us to see a new worldview. A new worldview on what up to now we may have believed to be the truth, Uranus, and was our prevailing belief system. Belief system very connected to Jupiter and Jupiter stationary retrograde on the 4th of the month, as I've mentioned. So this could be a whole aha moment of suddenly seeing things in a different way. Mercury moving out of its retrograde phase, very strong in Virgo, very strong because it's stationary. Neptune square to the galactic center in Varda, and also Uranus trine to the new moon. Insight, clarity, flashes. So all of those things support this higher perspective of a whole new worldview, a whole new perspective, particularly related to things around facts, information, health, etc. So I think those themes are very strong. And also, what is beautiful here is that we have, essentially, it's a little loose here, but it's a grand trine in Earth. We have Sun, Moon at almost 22, just 2 minutes off 22 degrees of Virgo, trine to Pluto at 28 of Capricorn, trine to Uranus at 22 of Taurus, and back in this trine. So this is an equilateral triangle, essentially, in Earth. And that is very positive for building new systems. That's very related to Mercury, related to financial systems, Taurus, currencies, values, etc., but also to food production, agriculture, that kind of thing. Making it practical, making it grounded, you know, making it very physical. So this moon in Virgo, new moon in Virgo, could be really helpful for that new system. So be very alert to any new system, new initiative, new idea that's coming in that feels very futuristic, but nevertheless is very positive in terms of a contribution to new Earth. Also, Uranus trine to this new moon. Uranus, it's always about truth, clarity, awakening, shocking new insights. And it's very related to the future. It's very related to galactic energy. And it's about stepping into the future you. If you could drop into your breath, drop into your meditation, your candle gazing, and imagine who the future you truly is. Can you step into that future you right now? Not next month, not next year, not down the road. Right now, and start to live it. Right now, just step into that new energetic hologram and live it, as if it were already here. Because actually, it is. If you can imagine it, then it is. You've already created it in your mind. And what are we waiting for? How long are we going to wait to do that? So really live your highest and best from this moment of the new moon in Virgo. Things are moving so fast in our outer world. Uranus is about making decisions in the moment, not being tardy, not being 3D, not having to be logical, linear, just doing it. Uranus always brings with it a very strong sense of individuality, truth, individuality, awakening. Therefore, it always has a very strong sense of sovereignty as well. And what reinforces that theme is a couple of things, really. We have Black Moon Lilith, BML, Black Moon Lilith, and this is related to the orbit of the moon. Black Moon Lilith is at 29.03 of Leo. Black Moon Lilith in the myth, some of you may remember me talking about her. She refused in the Garden of Eden to submit to Adam. And as a result of her defiance, she was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. So she is divine feminine energy, very like Eris, feisty, uncompromising, stands her ground, as Eris does too. Leo is very much the sign of sovereignty. I see Aries and Leo as the principal signs to do with sovereignty. If you think of Leo, you know, you think of the lion in the jungle, you know, strong sense of I'm in control of my life. And particularly because Black Moon Lilith here is at 29 degrees of Leo, the anoretic degree, there's a sense of urgency or intensity around issues of sovereignty. I know many of you will understand what I'm talking about here. Reinforcing that is this long-running conjunction between Eris at 25 of Aries conjunct the North Node. And that will continue certainly for the rest of this year. Eris has a 560-year orbit. The North Node, remember it's a nodal axis, is measured in two ways. There is the mean node and the true node. So the true node is the actual position of where the node is moving in the heavens related to the orbit of the moon. But it isn't smooth. It's a little bit like a sewing machine, if you remember those old-fashioned sewing machines. So it's not perfectly smooth. What the mean node does, think of the mean as a little bit like an average, not quite, but it's a little bit like that. It evens out those slightly staccato movements of the true node. So if we look at the true node at this time, the true node is absolutely spot on to the degree and minute conjunct Eris. The mean node is, as we see, because Solar Farmer software package uses the mean node. But nevertheless, we could see that this conjunction with Eris is extremely tight. Certainly through September and October, but really running till the end of the year. So as I've said before, what does that mean? Eris, divine feminine, warrior energy, sister of Mars, wasn't invited to the wedding. Mount Olympus turned up anyway and created mayhem. Just like Black Moon Lilith, stands her ground, issues of sovereignty, issues of truth, fights against inequality, fights against injustice, fights against deception, and demands total social inclusion. Nobody excluded. Everybody needs to be heard. And both of these divine feminine principles, energies, will not relent. So the North Node conjunct Eris, North Node is our collective future destiny, where we are supposed to, like the compass needle, follow the energy, is very much supporting sovereignty, truth, standing your ground, recognizing every individual to be included. No social inclusion, no elitism, much greater sense of a fairer society. So very strong theme there. There's just so much to talk about here. Let me shift a little more to the dwarf planets now, because we have a dwarf planet called Teheron Hiawakko at 20 of Pisces that is very tightly opposing the new moon, the sun and moon. Teheron Hiawakko is a farmer, this dwarf planet. The symbolism is the farmer creator god, who is very related to making sure we have enough seeds for the next season. We have enough food for the next year. Very concerned with the earth, nature, food growing, seeds. If you think of Virgo and the glyph being the sheaf of wheat, we also have that principle coming through of food and grain. And following that theme further, we have Ceres, who is the asteroid linked to agriculture, grains and harvests in particular. She is at 29 degrees 48 of Libra. So again, at the anoretic degree of a sign, suggesting some urgency or big issue around grains, harvests and food. She's conjunct the South Node here, 26-35 of Libra. So the South Node is our past collective behavior, if you like, patterns. So our past collective behavior has resulted in issues around food availability, grains, harvests, etc. I'm sure many of you are following me here. But included in this picture, which is very helpful for us, is also Homer, who I've talked about a great deal at 29:37 of Libra. So super tight. I mean, what, 11 minutes away from Ceres and also conjunct the South Node. So Homer as you know, is the link to the Hawaiian goddess of fertility. She is an incredibly powerful regenerative principle. So even when the land is laid waste by poor agricultural practices, she was able to wave her magic stick, the Makalai, and produce wild food from the land and wild food from the seas. She can birth babies from all over her body. She can change herself from an old crone to a young maiden. She's a regenerative principle. So that has great promise for how we can turn things around very quickly. And I want to refer you to two videos. This one is a wonderful interview that Heather Ensworth did with a wonderful man, who an ancient wisdom keeper called Kiero, because I think we think of these dwarf plants as, oh, they're kind of way abstract, and how do they fit into my personal life? Well, if you listen to that interview with this wonderful man, he is part of the lineage that is living out Homer symbolism today. And it's a beautiful, insightful interview. And Heather guides it extremely skillfully, as she always does. And if you listen to that, you'll get a very good idea of how we can start to use Homer as in her symbolism in our own lives and take us back to this sense of oneness and connection with all of nature, the earth, and all sentient beings. It's really beautiful. And the interview I did with Randy Hatton recently. In fact, I'll put the interview also with Veda Austin, because that was a fascinating conversation as well, also about water. But the interview with Randy Hatton was particularly focused on his work and how fast he is turning the situation around with water, polluted water. And that's really well worth a watch. So things are happening via the dwarf planet symbolisms, which represent a higher octave of consciousness for us to turn things around much more quickly than we might imagine. Because at 3D, we think it's going to take decades and decades and decades to clear up the mess that we as humanity have made. I don't believe that's the case. I think the dwarf planets hold great promise for us in operating at a quantum level. And I know there's some people, I think it's out in Estonia, actually. I'm trying to understand more about it. But they are using quantum computers to do some incredible things to turn around devastated soil, devastated land, to improve the crop yield dramatically. So, you know, there are pockets of people, individuals, groups of people, pockets of light that are turning the world around. It's so exciting. These are little pockets of light, or using technologies of light, that can change our world very quickly because they're operating on quantum principles. I know I'm covering a lot of ground in this video. Also, Maki Maki, who I talked about in the last video, 853 of Libra, she's conjunct Mars. So Mars is energizing this symbolism of Maki Maki. And remember, Maki Maki was also in a situation, he is a male creator god linked to the Rapa Nui people, the great sea spirit of Easter Island. And the myth is historically accurate about Easter Island being laid waste with disease and all the trees being chopped down. And, you know, at one point, the total number of residents on Easter Island was 111, I think, in the late 1800s. But nevertheless, they turned that situation back to healthy ecosystem. So again, there's some kind of a quantum leap of positivity. And again, regeneration of the earth and nature linked to Maki Maki's symbolism as well. A couple of other dwarf planets I'll bring in. Orcus is at the midpoint of the new moon and Mercury. Orcus at 1450 or Virgo. Orcus is linked to the Etruscan god of the underworld, who punishes oath breakers, those who break sacred and divine law, and, you know, violate that, and they're taken down to the underworld and made to see the truth and the light. And if they do that, then there's some kind of turnaround for them. If not, there's some kind of divine justice that takes place. But Orcus is very tightly trine here to Jupiter. So that is really a very helpful trine in opening up the truth and helping to change our belief systems that we may have had in the past once we start to see the light in a bigger way. The other thing just to touch on, I'll talk more about it in the next update because that's about the full moon in Aries where this becomes even more prominent, but we have a very long running trine between Pluto and Sedna. Now, if Pluto was just tipping into Aquarius, you could see this more easily because they'd both be in air signs. So it's an out of sign trine between Pluto and Sedna. And that will continue again till the end of 2024. They're kind of holding hands in lockstep, these two, because they're both kind of hovering between the end of an earth sign and the beginning of an air sign. They have very similar mythology in a way. They are both about trauma, grief, sadness, deep loss, surrender, but profound transformation into a different form, profound transformation into a different form, into a different state of being, into new life structures, even with Sedna, you know, how her fingers were chopped off by her father, and she couldn't hang on to the canoe in the storm, and she floated down to the depths of the seas, and she and her fingers transformed into beautiful sea creatures, new forms of life. So this is challenging, loss, surrender, death, grief, but ultimately profound transformation. And I think this speaks volumes for where we are at as humanity, because this is a long-running trine. It's very, very powerful in our consciousness. So a lot happening with this new worldview being born, I believe, at this new moon in Virgo, which will continue through the rest of this year and into next. So I'm going to stop sharing here, but there's some other things I really want to say and share with you. So, because they're coming up a lot, I think, in our discourse. And as human beings, with all that we've gone through in these last 3.5 years, I think it's very, very easy for us to finger point and blame and kind of bad guys, good guys, and it's all their fault, etc. But if you think about that from a higher perspective, it's just really perpetuating the polarization, the separation, the division that we know at another level is creating the endless hamster wheel of war, death, misery, grief, disease, poverty, the whole of that. So when we do that, when we kind of finger point or blame, we are dropping in, we're dropping our frequency for a start. We're dropping our frequency and we're dropping into back into that 3D reality of polarity. And so my profound belief, and I know it's probably not a popular view, but my profound belief is that it is our collective consciousness that has produced that collective reality. So it isn't so much pointing a finger and saying, look at what you have done. It's actually taking a collective responsibility and saying, look at what we have done collectively. And the only way to turn that around is to really change our inner state of being, to drop into peace, into gratitude, into love, into joy. And once we feel that internally and start to broadcast that out to the world, that is what will start to change the quantum wave structure, our collective reality. I profoundly believe that. Because otherwise we're just going round and round the hamster wheel. So it's very important that we feel it internally before we can see it externally in our inner in our individual reality and also in our collective one. So that would be the greatest service we could do, because then we're keeping our frequency high. We're operating outside 3D, because when you feel those emotions of love, a joy and gratitude, you are actually stepping outside linear time to a large degree, because you're living in the moment. You are in the moment of the joy. You are in the moment of the bliss. You're in the moment of love. And you are stepping outside that 3D-ness and keeping your frequency high. So we're helping to shift towards unity consciousness if we do that. I know this is really hard. You know, I'm a human being too, and we've been through such a harrowing, challenging time. It's very understandable. And I think linked to that, and it's something that's coming up in social media a lot, is people particularly writing to me as an astrologer and saying, when is this going to be over? When are we done with this? This reality, these challenges. And again, that's very human, isn't it? But when we do that, again, we're back into linear time. It's not here yet. So that's a statement of impatience. It's a statement of frustration. It's a statement of lack. I'm looking up the weeks and months going by, and it's not here yet. We're looking at linear time, 3D-ness, and lack. Again, we're dropping our frequency. So really hard, you know, really hard. So again, the answer is to turn back into those emotions. Because to be honest, if we are constantly every single day saying it's not here yet, and I'm you know, pressing my foot on the accelerator, it's not here, then our life is passing in a not very happy way at all. We're waiting. But we have to, I think, experience joy, love, gratitude, and bliss as far as we are able through our days, even for some parts of our day. I mean, I can feel it very much in nature. When I'm out in nature, and I just take moments to look at the light coming through the leaves, and I think, wow, this is just extraordinary. They look a different color. There's kind of diamond in the light. It's just kind of translucent. It's very different quality of light, photonic light. And I just really milk that and say, wow, let me just drop into that bliss, that gratitude, that love of nature and the trees. And even if I'm doing that for some parts of my day, I'm helping to keep the frequency in a better state, and my own individual frequency in a better state. So try and, because otherwise our life just passes in misery and frustration. We've got to find joy, gratitude, bliss, love, something positive through our days. Otherwise, you know, it's very hard to get through our lives. The other very important thing, and I really want to say this loudly too, is I would like you to be very alert to another big scary thing, because we've had lots of really big scary things coming our way in the last 3.5 years. They come in different forms. They come in different packages. And so therefore, they may be harder to spot because it's new. It's in a different package. But if you've ever been in an abusive relationship, as I was for many, many years, you eventually suss the pattern. And you move out of the fear, the threat coming at you, and you say to yourself, oh, here we go. It's another one of those. Here we go. It's another really big, scary thing. And the instant you do that, you step into your power. You step out of victim consciousness. You step into your power, and the whole dynamic shifts. It's no longer scary. It's no longer scary. It's just it's an empty paper bag. It's another one of those. So I would really, I turn my life around at the moment I said, it's another one of those. And after a couple of decades, got into a very different situation in my life. So I'd strongly, strongly recommend that to you, because it will change your life. If you can see it as, here we go, it's another really big, scary thing. The other thing, there's so much I want to say here. The other thing I would say is be conscious of the part we are playing in this crucible of change. Be conscious, because I think so often we just get in the hamster wheel of our days and getting through our work and, you know, microwave meal and Netflix or however we spend our days, and same old rinse and repeat, Groundhog Day the next day. But be conscious of the massive times of transformation that we are in, because many of you, I know, think, well, I'll take better note of the small print next time. But our souls chose for us as individuals to be here in these massive times of transformation. So we are the pioneers for New Earth. We're setting the foundations for New Earth. And there are going to, I'm getting really goosebumpy and emotional now. There are going to be millions and billions of people coming after us that will, oh gosh, thank us for the role we played. And this will be our legacy. So stand tall, be strong, and you are creating something extraordinary in the foundation of New Earth for the future. Look back with pride is the context you have to have here. Look back with pride on the role you played, the strong stance you took as a warrior for love and a warrior for light. That's why we're all here. And we are all here as a family of frequency working together. Even if you don't speak the same language as someone in Ethiopia or Russia, if you are on the same frequency, we are working together to build this grid of light that's growing stronger by the day. However it appears on the nightly news, that grid of light is getting stronger by the day. There has never been more light on the earth than there is right now. Covered a lot of ground there. Hope it's been helpful for you. You may need to listen to that again, but I hope it's helped. If you'd like to check out my website for other things that I do, pamgregory.com. God bless, stand strong, and we are rocking it, however it appears on the outside. Bye for now.
medicine woman from Bedouin Goodall. Now, Patricia Coda Robles reckons that victory is ours.
Hi, Precious Heart. Thank you for joining us for our weekly vlog. The latent abilities encoded within humanity's 12 fifth-dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA have now been activated. This activation was possible due to the monumental activities of light that were co-created through the unified efforts of every person's I Am presence and the entire Company of Heaven during the first 8 months of 2023. These latent abilities reverberate with sacred knowledge that contains viable solutions for the myriad surfacing maladies plaguing humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth at this time. This sacred knowledge is flowing into the divinity of our heart flames and being slowly revealed to our conscious minds as an intuitive inner knowing. Our Father, Mother, God have acknowledged that the magnitude of just what this means for each of us and our ascension process is truly beyond the comprehension of our finite minds at this moment. However, we are being assured that this lack of comprehension is a very temporary situation that is being remedied moment by moment as our I Am presence translates into our conscious minds the profound truth being released from the newly activated codes in our fifth dimensional DNA. A vitally important facet of this profound truth is that humanity in mass has reached a frequency of energy, vibration, and consciousness that has allowed our Father, Mother, God to open a portal of our Mother God's comprehensive divine love within every person's fifth-dimensional crystalline solar heart of hearts. The love of our Mother God that is now flowing through this portal has burst the paralyzing grip of the energetic attachments, the bonds, traps, cords, and connections that have been used by forces outside of ourselves to manipulate and control us for eons of time. The nefarious intent of this now failed effort was to prevent us from connecting with our I Am presence and the Company of Heaven after our fall from grace. But our Father, Mother, God want us to fully comprehend at this moment is that all of the sons and daughters of God embodied on earth have now been cut free from this interference. We are now able to hear the inner voice of our I Am presence, unimpeded by the frantic attempts of the forces of imbalance to prevent it. All we have to do to tangibly experience this truth is take the time to go within and to listen. The most effective way these forces of imbalance have used these attachments to manipulate us into being their pawns is through fear, anger, hate, and convincing us that we are victims and that other people are the reason we are suffering. Our godparents have once again proclaimed that nothing could be further from the truth. In order to reclaim our sovereignty and accept the opportunities at hand, We must now transcend the lies we have been manipulated into believing and focus on the reality of truly who we are and why we are here. Our Father, Mother, God have given us a glimpse of that truth. Please let these words resonate in the deepest recesses of your heart. This is the truth about you. A quote from our Father, Mother, God. You are a precious and beloved child of God. Your unique golden thread of life confirms your divinity and reveals the reality that you are an essential part of Earth's ascension in the light. This knowing will renew your faith in yourself and will remind you that you are a priceless human being. Once this realization truly registers in your heart of heart and your conscious mind, you will never again say, "What good could I possibly achieve? What value am I? What difference will one soul make?" You will recognize those words to be a sacrilege. We are your Father, Mother, God. We created you, and we have chosen to express some beautiful manifestation of life through you. You are destined to fulfill a portion of the glorious divine plan unfolding on planet Earth. Now is the time for you to release the unique perfume and music of your being to bless all life. The purity of your individual fragrance and keynote is unlike any other ever released by the evolving sons and daughters of God. Something sacred is hidden within your being that has never been known by another. It is an exquisite expression of life, which your I Am presence alone can externalize. It is time for you to accept this divine truth. It is time for you to stand revealed as your mighty I Am presence grown to full stature. And so it is. Now that we have been cut free from the bonds and manipulation of all past interference, know that the following information is the sacred knowledge our I Am presence and the company of heaven want us to remember at this time in order for us to transcend the illusion of being a victim. As you hear these words, allow them to resonate within the emerald green flame of truth that is pulsating in your heart flame. I am a co-creator with my Father, Mother, God. All energy, every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of life comes from the all-encompassing presence of my Father, Mother, God, the cosmic I Am, all that is. Everything that seems like solid matter is actually pulsating with divine, intelligent energy from the very heart of my Father, Mother, God, which is the core of creation. The purpose of my earthly existence is to learn how to become a co-creator with my Father, Mother, God by using the divinely intelligent energy from my prana and my life force, which is my gift of life. This is accomplished with every breath I take through my free will choices and how I decide to use my creative faculties of thought and feeling to form previously unknown patterns of perfection within the causal body of God. Through my I Am presence, I am open and receptive to the divine directives of God. With the activation of the latent abilities in my 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA, I am now able to comprehend a higher level of sacred knowledge. I now understand my divine mission with a new clarity. There is an awakening taking place within my heart flame, and I am now recognizing my responsibility for the conditions existing in my life and on earth. I remember deep within that through the universal law of the circle, I am a co-creator of the physical plane. My thoughts, words, actions, and feelings are projected onto the atomic substance of physical matter, and they manifest in physical form. As my life force flows through me, every electron picks up the vibrations of my consciousness, and then expresses those vibrations in visible form, experiences, and circumstances. That means that whatever I am thinking about and whatever I put my feelings and energy into, I am bringing into form. In other words, where my attention is, there I am. Because of the confusion and interference I have experienced in the past, I have given power to physical matter. I have allowed the distorted manifestation of physical matter to become my reality, when, in truth, it is only an illusion created by my beliefs, thoughts, words, actions, and feelings. I now realize with my new level of understanding and clarity that physical matter is nothing more than a mass of atomic energy controlled by my consciousness and manifesting through my thoughts and feelings. Never does matter control consciousness. My world reflects my human consciousness. In the past, I have set about trying to change the physical conditions of my world instead of changing my consciousness. Those conditions are only the reflection of my consciousness. Trying to change physical conditions without changing my consciousness is like trying to change the reflection in a mirror without changing the object causing the reflection. It is a futile effort. Now, I am one with my I Am presence. My consciousness is rising. My transfiguration is occurring subtly and deeply at an atomic, cellular level. The seed of awareness is growing within me through the sacred knowledge being revealed within the newly activated codes in my fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA. The seed of awareness is blazing like the sun and radiating forth crystalline rays of fifth dimensional solar light. My heart flame is expanding, and the flame of my Mother God's comprehensive divine love, which is now flowing through the newly opened portal within my fifth dimensional crystalline solar heart of hearts, is expanding as well. My Mother God's flame of comprehensive divine love is now flowing through my heart and connecting with the same flame blazing in the heart of every man, woman, and child on earth. This activity of light is greatly empowering the force field around the planet that is Mother Earth's fifth dimensional crystalline solar grid of comprehensive divine love. My Father, Mother, God have revealed that the collective radiance of the network of light formed by my Mother God's comprehensive divine love is unifying and connecting the heart flames of all humanity. My godparents have also revealed that this network of humanity's unified hearts is the most powerful force of love on the planet. This has created a bridge of light that spans the abyss from the lowest octaves of human suffering and consciousness into the highest realms of illumined truth and limitless physical perfection associated with the solar new earth. This is the bridge to freedom over which all of the sons and daughters of God who have been entrapped and enslaved by forces outside of ourselves for myriad lifetimes are at long last able to safely ascend up the spiral of evolution now that we have been cut free. With my heart flame united with the heart flame of every person on earth and blazing my light through Mother Earth's crystal solar grid of comprehensive divine love, I realize that I am now being presented with unprecedented opportunities to be an instrument of God. In deep humility, I accept these opportunities. My heart is now unified with all of the sons and daughters of God evolving on earth. Once again, I experience the bliss of knowing that we are one and that love is all there is. Knowing this profound truth evokes from within the deepest recesses of my being a reverent feeling of infinite gratitude. And so it is, beloved, I am that I am. Dear one, allow this sacred knowledge to resonate within your heart flame, and know that you are holding this sacred space for this awakening, not only for yourself, but for all of your sisters and brothers in the family of humanity as well. God bless you.
So what's coming up at Infinity Spiritual Centre in Anglesey Street? Tonight we have Light and Life, run by Courtney, who's we're looking at something different this week. And then on Saturday we're having a drum making workshop. So if you want a Native American drum, you can come along and make one. Have a look on the website, all the details are there. That's crystalshopinfinity.com. And then next week, which is our Spirit Fest, and it's the approaching of the winter solstice, which is on the 21st. So we're going to have a drumming session where you can come and bring your own drum and have a play for a while to welcome in the change of season. And then at the same day is our Spirit Fest, where we'll have all readers and healers here doing work at a reasonable cheap rate. I am Barry. It's been the Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.